Welcome. Allison Crowe here. It's Friday morning at this recording. I'm doing a live video and we'll put this on the podcast. So welcome live viewers, welcome replay viewers, and welcome to my podcast viewers. It is the first week of March and spring is definitely here, and I am so dang grateful because this mama is not a winter girl. Oh, that's another one thing I put on my list. I have a list of just insights I got this week that I want to share with you that I think might be helpful to you. And you know me, I'm going to ramble my way through them. And thanks to those of you who get me. Not everybody's going to get me, but I appreciate those of you who get me. So this week, well, as many of you know, those of you who've listened, I've been coming out of a couple of years of really deep self-care, 3 years of family events, 2 years of personal events, 2 years of surgeries, 2 years of, heart attack, hysterectomy, closing down Soli's, which was, and stepping away from positional leadership. I mean, you think the income loss was a hit, which it was, but just being with people has been, was a big hit. And last year was a big year of grief and a big year of my internal and physical systems reorganizing themselves. Many of you know that on the last few years, I have had a very spiritual journey of becoming human, which for me, I did step away from any kind of metaphysical, stuff that my closest friends know. Like, it revolted me for a long time. And one of the reasons was because in the past, when I was young, the religion of my youth, when I was college age and more like positivity and spirituality and religion, and then in my 30s and early 40s, I used spirituality as a way to bypass and actually escape being me, being human. And I felt very actually spiritually called to learn how to be in my body, to not disassociate. Disassociation is a coping mechanism for how things go hard. Many people do it different ways. And I did it through spirituality and things that feel good and positive. So these are all socially acceptable things. Many of my clients, oh my God, I love y'all, recovering people pleasers, overachievers, we call over functioners. And in this, in my world, we use labels for clarity, not for diagnosis and not for shame, but just like, oh, that makes sense. And many of us, our coping skills are socially acceptable and they are rewarded by society. And so those parts of us, in IFS terms, right, we are very manager led. Right. And I have friends and family members who have struggled with firefighter-led systems, like where they're doing very obvious destructive things, where they're, maybe struggling with alcohol addiction or, something that I always say something that there's a 12-step program for. And I feel like I don't really want a 12-step program, but recovering people pleasers, right? And actually that's Al-Anon codependency. Hi, I'm Allison. I'm recovering. I'm Allison and parts of me are recovering. Hi, I'm Allison. And it's all just so good. But that's the thing, is that our coping mechanisms, actually the world loves, right? We use our coping mechanisms to make money. We use our coping mechanisms to be loved in a socially acceptable way. We use our coping mechanisms to give to others. And then our body says, fuck you. Let's rearrange this shit. So that has been happening for me since 2015. And I'm pretty sure that I'm coming maiden, mother, crone energy. Like, I was talking with my coach about, and this started a year and a half ago, like I think I'm really moving into crone energy. And then I had a grandbaby in December. I had my hysterectomy in November. And so that was a very physical manifestation of moving into my menopause era, my crone era. Yes, I love Taylor Swift. And alongside that, those of you from an IFS perspective, many of my parts have unburdened and grown up, and younger parts of me that were really driving the bus aren't driving the bus. And so, but I will say, you know, I took a lot of time off. I needed time and physical space and time and space. I did so much deep trauma healing work in the last 3 years. I cried more tears. I got diagnosed with, y'all know, I got diagnosed with ADHD around my 50th birthday 2 years ago. And last year I got diagnosed with autism. And that was mind blowing. And what happens anytime you have an identity shift is you get to examine all your old identities and see if they're true, relevant, helpful. And one of the best things I've done in the last few years is realize how toxic personal development is. So I've deconstructed Christianity and religion. I've deconstructed capitalism, which made me not want to sell anything. I've deconstructed a lot of politics. I'm still deconstructing, you know, deconstructing all the things. But one of the things I realized that correlated was all the things I've been taught in personal growth are really similar to the things I've been taught in religion. And most nowhere teaches you to source inside and trust yourself. And that's what the IFS lens has had me do. Which is so fun because, like, just in my mind, I saw this connection. So that's the other thing. I'm at a place where my spiritual is now coming back to integrate alongside my humanness. I don't have to leave my feet or my pain or my difficulty through spirituality. I can now be with my humanness and be in my pain and struggle and simultaneously allow the spiritual stuff. So my psychic stuff has come back online. My seeing shit has come back online. It's so clear. Y'all, if you're going through something hard, you can't see it. You cannot see it. And it is so hard to trust that this too shall pass. It is so hard to trust our ebbs and flows. And my husband teases me because, listen, I have this, like, these are like my core values, wherever my little value sheet is. I have all these core values and they are my core values. But what I don't have the guts to put on my core values list personally, it's not my businesses, but my business version of it would be soft with the hard. But my personal value of comfort, like, I like to feel comfort. That could be a whole podcast. So here's what I want to share. I did step into 2024 like, okay, Allison, you made the least amount of money you've ever made last year. Net. My gross was more than my income as a teacher, but my net income was the least I've ever made. And my tax person was so funny. They're like, did you pay all your quarterly taxes? And I was like, this year I did not, because I know I didn't need to. I just paid one and two, and I'm probably still going to get a refund. And what I learned about not making the most money, because I've made a particular amount of money that is like in a range of gross and net that has been more than enough for about 10 years. And the 10 years before that, everything was always a struggle. I made a lot of money, but I spent a lot of money and I debted a lot. And I haven't debted a lot. I actually started doing shitty profit first. And shitty profit first and saving money actually saved my ass in these last 2 years so that I could really focus on my health and the things I needed to while still doing one-on-one sessions. And I tell y'all what, I have a private roster of one-on-one clients right now of 11 people. And I'm in love. I've done so much group work, and group work is leveraging, and I miss community and I love community, and I probably will open up a circle at some point soon too. But having these one-on-one conversations, one of the things I learned in the last two really hard years was my favorite joy of all of my life was either time with my family, except for in 2022, or one-on-one calls, like these deep conversations. And it was like all the pain would go away. And here I am. I felt like I wasn't marketing. I, you know, I'd share on social media and all this other stuff, but I felt like I wasn't directly selling anything. And so I have very worky parts that are like, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Now, listen, this is the vulnerable part. This part is hard to admit. I felt so insecure last year. I had parts that felt so insecure because I had stepped down from positional leadership and I closed down all my Facebook groups. Like all of them, years of them. I emptied them out and I archived those groups, like not able to open them back up. I closed my coaching membership down. And I quit like directly selling. And I felt, I had moments where parts of me felt irrelevant, that my work didn't matter in the world anymore, that nobody wanted my work, that people really just want money. How much money can you make? I had a lot of insecure parts come up. And even around what I'm calling re-blooming my business, I love springtime. I am watching it happen in my yard, and this is what happens in my soul. And in Texas, we have these perennial native plants that are native to the soil here. And in the winter, they die off. And you cut them back and their little plant, their little leaves start blooming again. And that's how I feel. And yet there were many times over the last few years where I would feel good. And then I felt like I got hit in the gut with another horrible, hard event, growth opportunity. And so this week I really did set the intention to rebloom my business, to invite my parts of my business parts in and my professional parts in, because I was just maintaining whatever, like my bottom baseline last year. And like, how do I come back into my business, into leadership, into confidence and credibility in my work? No bullshit confidence and credibility. And this week I wrote down, I have this little weekly dashboard, and every single week, it's just by the week, you have your little to-do list and each thing, and it says top priorities. And I wrote down prosperity. I have not written down prosperity in I don't know how long. I have not focused on money. I don't want to say I haven't worried about money, because my brain was used to making a certain amount of money, but I have not, like, in my business self and in my parts been like, we need to make money and prosperity. And it was interesting. I also wrote down connection and physical movement. And it was interesting because one of the big lessons that I have learned, I've spoken to on the podcast in the past, was that a lot of my business was unconsciously built through ego and drive and a very, very insecure parts need to be loved and good enough. And that made me a lot of money. And so what happens when you heal all that and you need to make money? And so it's funny because this morning I sat down thinking about, like, not this morning, this week, I sat down and was like, why? What's my why? And one of my whys was like, I just have a practical need. I need to get my eyes done. I cannot afford a new pair of trifocal with prism glasses every 6 months. So I would like to have eye surgery that is not covered by insurance. I had a bike accident when I was little and I have 20-year-old veneers. And in the next 2 years, those are going to need to be replaced. You know, I don't need a new car. I don't need fancy things. I don't need ego number. I have very practical needs to make more than a baseline revenue for me. Many of y'all know my husband and I dramatically changed our lifestyle and lived below our means, which was also really helpful in a year when I pulled back from driving really hard in business. But it was fun. I put down prosperity and I drew a green line around it. And the other thing I focus on every single week, no matter what, and I did this all the last few years, is how do I connect with myself? And then where can I connect with other people? And what I mean is not the verb connect. It is connect for me, capital connect, is a state of being. And Francis Weller talks about it. He says attunement is, I'm going to get it wrong, but I'm being attuned, and how attunement is a sense of connection wedded with affection. And so my goal every morning is to give that to myself. And then as that fills up, I move about the world with connections. And it's not like, hey, let's have a connection call. Like, it's not robotic. And this week, I have four names of people that I have connected with. One was planned long ago, like she put something in my calendar. The others were kind of impromptu. You know, some of them were personal. Some of them were people reaching out to me professionally. And I have a friend, his name is Jay Winia. I met him on TikTok and he's in my new Facebook group. I do have a new Facebook group. I opened it back up and y'all, honestly, I thought nobody would come. And there's 72 people in there. It's private. Like, it's not about more is better. It's about better is better. And it's about those of us who are lonely and actually want to exchange ideas. So it's not a hardcore selling group. It's just like co-working and co-ideas and from a self-leadership principle. I'll put a link to that in the podcast. I don't know what I'll do with all these live streams. Anyways, many, many months ago, when I was actually on, I'm still on TikTok, but you know, I was exploring TikTok. I've been on TikTok since 2017. I would get so frustrated because Facebook always seems so natural to me. And Jay and I had done a live stream and we've exchanged conversations with each other. And he said to me once, because I would get all in my head and I would start like performing on TikTok. Now, I'm not doing dances, like the same stuff I do over here. But like for some reason on TikTok, like I felt myself putting masks on. And Jay was like, just remember your goal is connection. Oh my gosh. And I have never forgotten that. And so I don't write a post. I don't do anything unless I'm feeling that sense of connection. And it's real easy for me to get in subconscious should perform mode. So here are, I have writing practice at 10. So I need to watch myself. Where's my little list? I made some notes of some things that I noticed at the end of this week. So I also did not make any public offers. And this week I sold another spot to Camp Starheart. Camp Starheart. There's a Freudian slip. Camp Cultivate. I have six spots left and a few weeks left for that. I've not been hardcore selling that in-person retreat. And I enrolled two coaching clients. And they both asked me, how do I work with you? Can I work with you? But I wasn't out there like hardcore promoting. And I had started this group in the last week or two and just been slowly, like I didn't make sure everything was perfect. I did that thing that Jay reminded me of, like, just come from a sense of connection. You don't have to have the marketing. I didn't even have a name for it when I first started. Just come from that sense of connection. And I look up and I'm like, whoops, I made money. How did I make money? Right. In my mind, I think when I was, you know, like, okay, I'm stepping back into my business, my brain was hearing, once you start lead generating, it's going to take 90 days to pay off. How many of y'all were taught that in your sales? Right. And what I realized, a couple things with that. The first one is that, and many of y'all know, I see a few names of people watching. I used to teach a marketing class called Share Your Heart, Show Your Work. And even though social media marketing has shifted, the zeitgeist of Share Your Heart, Show Your Work still stands. And I realized that even though I haven't been showing a lot of my work, I like to write. I like to create. I'm not a content creator. I'm just a person who creates. And somehow that has worked. So these are all connected to each other. And so my brain is like doing a web instead of a straight line. So along with that, so Share Your Heart, Show Your Work works. One of the things that I am really hard on myself about, or that I struggle with, is I have a part that is like, you need to do a podcast every single week. Like best is trying to follow best practices. It says, pick your favorite two formats, right? Like there are all these rules. And I've been really struggling with whether or not I wanted to keep doing my podcast. Is my podcast still in my values? I have an amazing podcast producer. You know, running a podcast costs money. It costs a lot more money than y'all realize. And to do it the way I want to do it. And I'm, you know, I can get really hard on myself. And when I'm being hard on myself, I close down my creative mojo. And I had this insight this week. I also had wanted to like, oh, I would really like to, what if I had 52 YouTubes in a year and every single week I had a YouTube video that was actually really well done and cared for and showed my professional credibility. And then I went back to why. Why? What's my so that? Why do a podcast every week? Why send out an email to my list every week? And it was so funny because I couldn't find a why. I can hear a why that they tell me, but my inner being couldn't find a why. And my inner being said, you don't have to do any of that. And you don't have to have any order. It seems like, Allison, over the last 20 years, you have popcorn created by sharing your heart and showing your work and burping over here on LinkedIn and sharing podcasts and taking time off podcasts and doing a little TikTok and a lot of Facebook. And sometimes you email and sometimes you don't. Like, I have this menagerie of places that I create content and have connection and community and have built relationships. And I don't have to follow any of those fucking rules and neither do you. And so this is the point that I'm getting to. And I shared with one of the viewers, I can see her comment in here. When I was in real estate, the real estate company taught us these like, not silos, but these containers, like people are in launch phase of their business. They're in growth phase of their business and they're in achievement phase of their business. Makes sense. And, you know, at the time at that organization, like you had different training and different KPI for launch and growth. Like there were different expectations, right? And so for many years, I worked with people in launch. And for the last 15 years, I've worked with people in growth and achievement phase of their business. Well, many of my clients and peers are now in, when I say achievement, you have been in business for 10 to 15 years. This is working. This is not an experiment. It's what you do. You've experienced market shifts. You've taken all the classes. You might be kind of feeling tired or bored, but this is the work you do. And there's parts of it you still love and you're not changing, but it can get very confusing. And one of the reasons is because our brains and bodies are like a very full closet and we are holding on to. So interestingly this week, I talked to three different people in achievement phase of their career. And all three human beings at some point in the conversation pulled a statement out of the air from their industry that they should be doing that is taught to launch people. Y'all realize that all these big, whether it's in real estate or the coaching world or wherever you're getting your like groupie business sales training and business training or whatever, those are one to many, one to the lowest common denominator instructions. That model is for a baseline to see who sticks, right? And so you need to make 100 calls a week. You need to do X, Y, Z. That is for brand new people to start to build them a muscle memory. But here's the thing, those of us who've been around forever, our brain, you know how, this is what it's like. I've been seeing these TikToks and reels lately, and it will say, my memory. And my memory can remember the lyrics word for word from certain songs from junior high and the states thing, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, like stuff I learned in elementary school can remember it word for word. My high school phone number was 480-8151. That phone number has not existed in forever. I can remember those things, but I cannot remember what I had for dinner last night. And so that's just the way our brain works. It holds the oldest information really well. And once it gets full, there's not quite room. So what's happening is I'm looking at these achievement-based business owners who have years of success, but are starting to feel a little dusty and rusty and confused and disillusioned. And they've tried all the models and they've experimented with all the things. And what I'm calling this is reinvention phase. And reinvention phase, which is, y'all know I've reinvented a gazillion times, but what I'm really clear on now is that the most element, the biggest part, like the first chapter now of reinvention phase is go through your closet. and find what works for you, not what you should do, not what you think you should do. But, you know, this is one of the first things I do, even on these connection calls, is like, what works for you? I hear you comparing yourself and shitting yourself, but what do you know works? You have a client call after this, so you've got business. What has worked in the past? And here's a freebie for you. Every single one of you that is business owners, that is responsible for getting clients, backtrack. Where did that client come from? What, and not just one thing, you know, write down a list of your 10 favorite joyful people you love working with, and what worked. And then notice how that's different from your damn mass media standards. And listen, those of us who are engaged in our work communities, we are going to be exposing ourselves to the mass media, shooting out the one to many. But remember that you are much more specific. So it is now time to build our personal recipes. And not only build your personal recipe, but we have got to do something to get it into our brain and what I call remember every single day, because I forget. Right. Sometimes I sit down at the desk and think, okay, here's my week. What do I want to do with my work week? And my brain goes to when I was brand new. Instead of going to the ways that I've made that my own and what works for me. Most people I know do not have solid neuropathways built around what they know works for them, and they have parts thinking that that you can't do that. And how do I know? This week, I have the evidence that what works for me, and it does not look like something you put in a PDF and send out to the masses, because it doesn't look like work. It's so unique to me. So if you're in that reinvention phase, and as one of my consults this week, you know, it was just like, I did this, but I don't really like it. And she said, the more I do this, the less I do me. We are at the phase where do me. I got to do me. I got to be me. And maybe this is part of, you know, I have a lot of parts that need to be loved and liked. And I don't think that's a bad thing. But I get to be a little bit more discerning. And I get to ask, do I like them? First, you'll realize that recently, instead of saying, do they like me? Do they like me? I, for the first time in my entire life, said, do I like them? what I want matters. And those of us that have built coping skills from early on of people pleasing have tended to mold ourselves to be loved and accepted subconsciously. I know your intellect knows. I'm not talking about your intellect. I'm talking about your body and your nervous system. And so we overfunction and we fix and we caregive and we tell ourselves that it's from our benevolent good identity. And it's not. It's from our need to be loved. And that is how my system was trained. And so I'm really examining those things. What do I like? What works for me? What do I want in clients? What do I want my business structure to look like? And listen, I'm with ADD, I'm like, ooh, shiny object. And instead of having to say, don't chase shiny objects, okay, experiment with the shiny object. And if it sticks, it sticks. Somehow this podcast is on episode 212. And I happen to know that there's at least 15 unnumbered podcasts. So we probably have 230 podcast episodes over the last 7 years. Somehow it is stuck. Facebook, somehow it is stuck, right? Like sharing your heart. That's why I say share your heart, show your work. It doesn't matter what platform. Apparently, my roster is full, so it's fine. I joke with people, and this is actually not a joke, but I'm like, I implemented shitty profit first. Sometimes I do what I call shitty parts work. And what I mean is like even shitty meditation, it's not, this is a big one. I hear people every single day, and my inner system is always reaching for some aspirational ideal that is impossible. It is reaching for this measure of impossible aspirational ideal that has been sold to us through marketing. And when you are reaching for the aspirational impossible ideal, you cannot help but experience shame, blame, guilt, you're doing it wrong, and then spend money you do not need to spend. I watch people do it for parenting. I watch people do it for business. I watch women and men do it in their relationships. Nobody is talking about their marriages. And all these relationship people out there are not talking about the bullshit that is just everyday life in their real relationships. We're all holding ourselves to an impossible standard. Beauty, skincare, our looks, our health. We have this imaginary fixation because it's been sold to us. And we need to flip that around and say, what really matters to me? Okay, so I'm trying to figure out the manual of me. Like, I need to write some of these down and remember them. Like, Allison, remember you have vitamin D shortage and need 6,000 IUs of vitamin D a day. All right, and then I can set up systems to help me remember. All right, so I have a system to help me remember to take my vitamin D. I have strategically placed things outside of me. So this is the other piece. I'm circling back to something that I started to talk about before, but the toxic individualism in personal development and spiritual circles is bullshit. One of the things I really like about Gabor Mate's book, The Myth of Normal, and it is a very big, thick book. I've not read the whole thing. I prefer to watch the videos of him talking about it. But so many of the people I hear and listen to, and I hear their parts that say, I'm not normal, I'm not normal. And actually this morning I heard him on a podcast define what the medical world defines as normal, because somebody was asking him about the title of his book. And essentially the premise of his book is we're holding ourselves to an impossible standard. The world we live in is not normal. If, like, y'all realize, like, marketing is a part of life, but it's not normal. It's not healthy. Social media is here and it's not healthy. And listen, I know that it's not healthy and I'm not leaving it, right? Like, society and the systems of oppression and the way things are set up are not conducive to our thriving. That's on purpose. I don't know that Gabor Mate says this, but I say that. That's on purpose so that we buy shit we don't need and put money in the pockets of people who don't give a shit about us. I have explored my doom and gloom, and many of y'all know I have become a realist with hope. And I used to be an optimist, and I am not an optimist, but I am a realist. I am willing to see the bullshit and then grieve and then go, okay, in this world that I do not like, how do I want to be and how do I want to proceed? So I have learned, like, there has been some things that, especially like the autism diagnosis, and then when I found out I have a genetic mutation of my MTHFR gene, and that specific genetic mutation, which comes from both sides of my family, means that my vitamin D receptors don't work, and vitamin D receptors work with dopamine. And when you have low vitamin D, many of the symptoms are depression. And those of you who've known me for a long time know that I have been open about my lifelong struggle with depression. And I'm looking up there going, it was never psychology of depression. My hypersensitivity was never my psychology. It was never my mindset. It is the math of this beautifully, differently made body. My brain, my cognitive function is not a dysfunction. It's just different. My sensitivity, I used to have a friend and she was like, I don't understand why you care. You feel so much. And she would just look at me like I was a rare bird in a zoo with confusion. I don't know why you care so much. And I'm like, I can't not feel. We have personalized all this stuff. And what happens when you realize, at least for me, when I have realized, like, some of these things take off all the, listen, y'all know I love emotions, but take off all the emotions and look at these things as a math equation or chemistry, it's neutral. And with this math, so for example, outside it is going to be 80 degrees and humid in Austin, Texas. And with that data, I will adapt to find my way. And I'm not going to wear a parka today. I'm not going to wear leggings and a sweatshirt today. I'm not going to have my temperature in my house be 80 degrees, right? So I'm going to make external adjustments to fit the data. And in the personal development world, we have created toxic individualism and this. Listen, I love to be responsible for the things that I am able to be responsible for and for the things that I am, that are mine. And one of the things I work with almost every single one of my clients, amazing, loving, caring, successful human beings, parents, spouses, good people, is to stop doing work for adults that can be doing that work for themselves. We are overfunctioning. We are managing other people's emotions. We are managing other people's behaviors. And no wonder we're effing tired. Because that's what we did to grow up. And I did it in my business. I did it in my friendships. And so, you know, we can say have boundaries. You know, I think that's a good imagination. Like, if the boundary were this, how would I react? There's a lot in between there, right? Like, and this is the other thing brains do, and we're taught this in IF, right? The brain goes to the polarizations. And many of y'all know I had an event that was centered around both and. You know, we are both human, we are both spiritual. And this place of nuance in the middle, we've got to learn to build the muscles of nuance in the middle. The other thing I learned, and I saw this morning, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name right now. It was such a beautiful post. I'll find it. I'll find it. And I'll link it on the podcast notes that will come out on Sunday. And I'll also link it in the Facebook group. My Facebook group is called Self-Led Business Humans, I think. I know I could have way better systems, and I don't care. I'm not having way better systems. I could make it easier for you. I am not here to make it easy for you. I am here to make it easy and enjoyable for me and the right people that align with that. It's perfect. But he talked about having this recognition. He used to be a professional poker player, and you know, when you're a professional poker player, there's so much math involved. And there's this thing in poker called variance. And the math of the poker is that sometimes variance happens. And so when you're on a losing streak, you know, one guy, I think he said 300 and something hands this guy had lost. And apparently that's a lot, right? And here's the other thing I see, and I have learned, and I am claiming, I trust my ebbs and flows. I trust my ebbs and flows, and I set up systems to support myself in my ebbs and flows. They may be shitty systems, shitty profit first work, shitty meditation work, shitty IFS parts work works, shitty financial savings works, shitty content creation works. Anyway, he talked about variance, and I was like, yes, I now have another word for it. Like, variance is like the weather. It's not as predictable as they think, right? Like, and so I'm always trying to shove my flow state into Monday morning or in the times when I need money, instead of honoring my ebbs and flows, recognizing my Allison Crowe, my personal cycles. And it's funny because my friend Jody reminds me all the time. She has a better memory than me. She's like, remember last January? Like, you do this every January. You do this every January. She's right. If I were really smart, I would take November, December, and January and call that winter. That would be my sabbatical, right? Like, how can we support ourselves outside of us? Because inside of us, we're taking on too much psychological responsibility. We're not doing it wrong. We're trying to bend ourselves to all these systems of the world. That's why I say we're gardeners, not machines. And if you tend to a garden, the garden responds differently to the seasons, to the weather, which is always changing, to the climate. You know, for 4 years in this house, I've had the most gorgeous yard. with very minimal water. And last year, I saw pictures from last year at this time of the year, and just the grass is lush and beautiful. Like, I like it. My dogs aren't allergic to it. And this year, my yard looks like total shit, because last year we had massive drought and we had 3 water pumps in my neighborhood break, and they were broken for 2.5 months. And so we were on very minimal water, which meant no outdoor watering. And my grass is dead. It's dead. It's in an ebb. And we're going to see what happens naturally, and we may or may not support it in coming back. We may or may not modify what's in our yard to make it work for us. It's not high on the list. High on my list, not high on my husband's list. Yes, we bend ourselves to outside systems. And please, like, there's no shame in that. That's the other thing. Like, so if you're dysregulated, you're not doing it wrong. That's pretty normal. If you're in fight or flight, you're not doing it wrong. That's pretty normal. How can we neutralize some of this? How can we say, they're there, anxiety, I see you. Yeah, that makes sense. One of the things I do in parts work, when I, you know, connect with parts and they tell me their story and they tell me their suffering, and I notice, you know, when I was very first in parts work, I had parts that were like, oh, we're going to help them. And when I really connect and listen, and I hear their stories, and my parts are like, I'm scared of this and I'm scared of that and I'm worried this. And I'm like, yeah, that's all valid. Makes perfect sense to me. And my parts just relax. Because it is valid. And we have so much shame around discomfort and wobbling and ebbs and variance, like my poker friend said, instead of realizing that variance is a part of the business. What can you control? This is one of the most fundamental things. What can you control and what can you not control? What's yours? I have a thing on my, is that mine? Is that thought mine? Is that energy mine? Is that mine? No, that's not mine. And I'll have to make theirs wrong for them. I mean, there's some things I'm going to make wrong. Listen, I unfriended somebody this morning that was all like, woohoo, Trump, fuck Biden. And I was like, out. I'm not doing this flagrant bullshit. Just not doing it. Oh, it's 10:02. I got to go. So you tell me. You tell me what your takeaways are. Share your heart, show your work. If you're in reinvention, create a manual of me. Create a list, a detailed list of things that work for you. I don't do concerts. I have 6 names of concerts that I will make modifications to go to, but other than that, I don't do concerts. It sounds really rigid, but when I was like, oh, free, easygoing, I'm up for anything, that was me bending to the likeability of other people. Fuck that shit. I don't like going to do stuff. I have certain things I like to do, and I have the way I like to do them. And guess what? My life works better that way. Am I more rigid now? I don't think it's rigid. I'm just more sovereign. With that, I love y'all. I'm going to writing practice. Mwah. Yeah, I'm calling it rebloom. It's spring. Flowers. Peace out, y'all. Let me know how this landed. If you liked it, share it with somebody. And if you want to come to the group, it's Self-Led Business Humans. If you go to my Facebook wall, I know some of you are going to have to go on the scavenger hunt. Self-Led Business Humans. It's on my Facebook wall. In one of the most recent posts is a link to the group, and you can request to join the group. It's private. You cannot see what people post in it. And don't come to be a voyeur. If you want to be a voyeur in my content creation world, send me a tip. I'm done working for free. Man, TikTok paid me $6 and I'm here for it. I'll take your $6. I wasn't creating content for TikTok. I wasn't selling anything. I was just being neat. And TikTok gave me $6. I'm done with the voyeuring for free. So if you want to be in the group, this is a community. Bring something. What are you going to bring to the group? Peace out, y'all.